שלום לכם, תודה שאתם איתנו כאן וכן תודה שאתם...
Hello and thank you for being with us here in A New Life, a series of discussion, educational discussions with Rav Lightman. Hello Rav Lightman, hello, hello Nitza Mazoz, hello. And today we want to continue to talk about our emotions, to delve deeper into our heart and to understand what's going on inwards so that we will understand how we can come to a better life, a new life. A better life, so we're going to try to touch on a little Pandora box that's sitting there kind of deep inside, and we'll try to open it carefully and to try to progress from that open place to a place of hope. We're going to talk about between anxiety to hope. Be with us, it'll be fascinating. Nitza, we're following you. When we talk about anxiety and despair, it's something that many people are feeling, that they've come to a place. It's a place that includes within it so many emotions of disappointment and fear and frustration. And it includes many things. In a place where we're called despair, we've come to a state that we feel like there's no other alternative. And we try to understand, what does it stem from, and how do we exit this point? And how will a new path open for us? It's like a wall before us. So we thought it would be very interesting to first of all understand what despair is, why is it felt in us in such a powerful way, and in continuance we'll also try to understand how do we exit it in the best possible way. We talked about in our previous discussions that our matter is a will to receive, to fill ourselves, or the will the desire to receive pleasure. This desire in a person is divided to two parts. One part, which is associated with the body, bodily desires, which is like in the animal world, because we also are associated with the world, the animal world, our body, and all that we have to do to maintain it and keep it, and the degree of the human, which are the speaking. Therefore, all of nature is divided into still vegetative, animate, and speaking. Speaking is something that's already inside the head. Animal is the part that's called to the part that dies. So it works out that if I'm talking about all kinds of problems, regular problems, existential problems, that humanity has been suffering from them from throughout all of history until this day, though in our days we've come to a state in which they really are, we see that it's emphasized, but relatively our state today is better than its past. The way our physical bodies are living today, it's much better than it was 100 years ago. Our parents and definitely several generations back. So it works out that the concerns I would divide to bodily concerns and human concerns, which are associated with the degree of the human, of Adam. Problems that are associated with the bodily concerns, that's like each and every one has. Just like a cow has, and a horse has, and a bird, and a fish. Yeah, meaning how to maintain oneself in a comfortable, good way, according to the demands of the body. And here we really are in the best possible way that we could be compared in comparison to all of history. I mean, relatively, to the past, there's not really people who are truly starving or you know, it's like whether it's the social security and funds and different ways that we've been changing the world. meaning the concern, the bodily concern somehow is lessening. Anxiety, fear, but fears and anxieties in the second degree, in the human degree, all of a sudden started to grow and develop, and it's truly increased in a way that it brought humanity to what we call today despair, depression. And this is a disease that wasn't known before. Rather, who was in it like 100 years ago, 200 years ago? The elites, only the elites. So it was like kind of thing, someone in the elite, I don't feel good enough, I don't know. And even then, there were psychologists and they worked on it. But it was kind of like, for those that didn't have what to fill themselves with, part of them was truly in a certain melancholy, but no more than that. It was, and that was really the problem. Even then, there were all sorts of means how to kind of like skip above it. So went to Baden-Baden, or to all kinds of places, and... But today, it's become a true blow, a true epidemic. And it's not coming from fear, existential fear, from any incident. I remember that when we studied anatomy, physiology, and psychology in the university, it was mostly psychology, but we had a professor that would talk about how he had a special faction that was talking about how psychology affects the physical physiology, inner physiology of man, the work of the systems, because that was actually our profession, the systems of the human body. So I remember that he would count for us hundreds of types of fears, maybe 800 types of fears for one person. 200, I don't exactly remember the numbers, but types of anxieties, despairs, it's like simply endless. Because from fear, from anxieties, but they're not existential. Not for existence, but rather for something that is an unknown, that I don't know what it is. The feeling of an unknown future that is in some place out there. Right now, I am not sure. I mean, my beast is adhered to what it's dealing with right now today. So if we have security with that, then we're done with that. We have nothing to worry about the past, about the present. Everything is worked out, and we're not awakening about the present, but about the what will be. And what will be, it's not that I'm missing something corporeal. I'm also cutting the lower half from all the concerns and questions, but the upper half, meaning it's still associated with a hidden question or more burning, and which is why? For what? Is there a need? What's the benefit? All kinds of such questions that actually talk about life without an essence. And what's interesting is that probably we see, according to the quantities of antidepressants that we're giving out in all over the world, it's truly an epidemic. In the United States, you know, up to 67%, 70% with children that are in constant increase and there's a constant increase about with the antidepressant medicines that are being given out. And what's interesting is that this phenomenon is also moving to the animals also. If you have a dog or a cat, they're also included today, and they have already antidepressants for pets as well. And this is a very serious thing, because all of a sudden the dog is sitting there like that, and he's crying and all that, as if he's sick and they don't know where. And he's laying in the corner, and it's like you can really feel it upon him. Why? Because the world has entered. Its integral state, it's become round, and the whole degree of animal, which is close to human beings, has started to be included, to integrate with man. And then it moves to them too. It's not that they're living themselves on what will I have tomorrow. A dog doesn't think about that. But we see that inner emotion that his owner has. He's starting to feel those phenomena. Now the pet is starting to feel these phenomena as well, of despair and depression. And the vets that are caring for them, the doctors that are taking care of them, understand this phenomena, and they already have work, truly aimed at a pretty broad treatment for these things with animals today. Meaning that the despair is not about existence. Because for existence we have fear. It's very simple. I have to find an earning. I have to make a living. I have to find food and all that. That does not bring despair. That brings either inertia or, to work or to revolution or to kill someone or to do something. But there's no place for despair. Despair usually comes from a combination of several reasons, which is I have more or less all that I need for my physical existence. Secondly, the world is becoming round and becoming more global and integral. What does that mean, that the world is becoming round? It was always round. No, more of a connection is being realized between all the parts. What, like a closed system? Kind of like, yes, that's integral. Integral. Integral is, it's like the sum, it's like a sigma. The sigma symbol, which means the sum. So now it's become integral. That's the second thing. Three, we have grown with our ego to such a state in which on one hand we organize the world and can supply for ourselves more or less from all the things that we need. We have no concerns for those. Our ego grew and became greater than the degree of animate. It started to come to the degree of speaking, and in the degree of speaking, specifically in it, we're starting to feel a lack of fulfillment. Because after all, we are the will to receive in our source. And we cannot fill this place with its demands, because the degree of the will to receive demands from a person to know everything. What's the source? What's going on with the stars? What's going on below? And the main thing is with me. All these questions that we used to turn to nature, we thought, oh, the space program, oh, we're going to fly, we're going to see, we'll open worlds after there, after the stars, there's something. We'll enter into the depths of the sea. And all in all, it was the question, where am I from? Not that I came off of the trees as an ape and became a human being, but where am I in a more primordial, ancient source from? And what am I for? Meaning, these are questions that are above the level of some force of nature that's working upon us and is bringing us our evolution. That here we're developing, yes, there are periods, there's hundreds of thousands of years, that's all right. But what's this plan? What is this reasoning? Where is this source? What does he actually want from this whole process that we're going through? The question is essential. Where I came from and where I'm going to. Yes, yes. And what's interesting is that today it meets us in every place. It's not dependent on age, which is interesting, and it's not dependent on the level of development of man like it used to be 100, 200 years ago, only in the elites. But simply, the time has come for the humanity, for humanity to start asking. And the despair is the result. Now, when you meet a person, and it comes out that I get to discuss many times with people that feel this sensation, they usually bind it with a lack to realize themselves or to implement themselves or to realize some dream of theirs. And then they feel that they've come to despair, meaning they feel that, I don't know, a woman that feels that maybe she spent most of her time at home and raised her children, she comes to a certain age that all her potential and her abilities have not come to realization, and so she feels a certain frustration and despair. Or someone that didn't find their partner or to realize that part of life like they thought, that brings to despair. Meaning there's a certain sensation that there's a connection between realization and despair. How do you see this connection? And yes, there's a connection, and one can be in those initial degrees of development of despair, of what am I living for and what's the point in my life and so on, in such a way that he thinks that simply he didn't realize himself that the answer is still inside his life. That's that first stage of despair, of this big main despair. And that me thinking that if I were to realize myself in some way from the past, so the one is still usually eating himself up over his past, and then I would have been happy. What do you mean, some form from the past? Oh, if I would have become a doctor or some researcher or maybe an athlete, or it doesn't matter what. And it didn't work out for me. And I didn't go, you mean, on about the past? Oh, he's kind of like sorry that he didn't do. Yeah, that he didn't realize something, and he could have. He can also maybe fantasize to himself that, why am I not like, I don't know, Schumacher or someone out there? But no matter what, we are in a state that, well, this is just the development of the despair. That we still think that the despair is in the framework of this world, of this life. But as it continues onwards, we continue to be more complex, and then we start to understand that the despair is not within our lives. It's what's happening to me outside this life. Is there something or not? What will I get from knowing the stars, or from what will I have from knowing everything that's in nature? Well, what? In the beginning, one thinks that that will be make him boundless, that we will go beyond the stars, we'll discover that we're existing in eternity and internal times and abilities and so on. No. He starts later to... nevertheless, development continues, and he starts to understand that his answers that he's expecting for in his subconscious, even as they start to clarify for him, he starts to feel that these are answers that he has above science, above the nature that we discover here. Because all in all, to fly between the stars is to be in the world of inanimate. And this really brings us into despair. Because what we're discovering is that we're starting to ask to aspire for a connection, which is called to reveal the answer, to be in contact, in connection with some system, with some source, which is higher up beyond what we live in. And that sensation, that stress that I'm feeling, that it truly brings to, that I'm not realizing, that brings me to a despair that if such a big thing comes to a human being, he's willing to really finish with his life. Because then he sees that, because then he discovers that all of his existence, other than the scrutiny of that question, what am I living for, meaning the attainment of the true highest reason, all existence below that, if you're not drawn to that, all of this existence is the degree of animal. I'm just a beast, and I can't, from the height of the question that he's in already, he can't stand this lowness. But we have yet to come to that yet. We will still come to a state in which, wow, there'll be such kind of ache that will come from out of humanity, that just a discomfort that just, I truly feel this sorrow that they will feel. And let's hope that we will be able to give them the medicine against that despair from us. Many times I heard about stories that people have come to a state of certain despair, and especially from the deepest place, this despair, this depression, this touching the ground, from there specifically a breakthrough occurred, and all of a sudden something new opened up. Yes, and many such stories we hear, where a person in a certain place kind of subjugated to the despair and really touched, like inside of a whirlpool, like when you, in a whirlpool, you have to touch the ground and then you start to rise up. What is there in this force, in that point, that from which, if you pass it, then you can actually grow anew? Well, that's clear, because this point is a revelation of very strong desire, an empty desire. And its emptiness is felt even as great suffering, as the greatest suffering, because it suppresses everything in life. I can get anything in the world, anything in this world, if I don't fulfill the despair, because it's a desire from the human level, from the human level, not from the degree of the beast. I can get money, control, honor. I'm not even talking about sex, family, and food. If I don't feel this upper frustration, I'd rather die than live. It's simply like that. So therefore, if I'm already receiving a certain direction towards some place where a place where I can be in this, where I can learn from this, how to, well, people go to coachings and to different extracurricular activities, and dragged to all kinds of different places with hope that, and they'll go for anything. They're willing to run between anyone who will just tell you, come, supposedly I've got an explanation or I have some kind of fulfillment for this. And therefore, there are so many people and companies and offices where they fill them with all kinds of seemingly means that they can overcome their despair, to forget about it, all kinds of techniques. But of course, in our world, in all those methods, there's no ability to answer these questions. And truly, as we always advance, are constantly advancing with these questions, so the question is, even if he suppressed it somewhat yesterday, and it seems like he organized for himself some kind of fulfillment for this inner despair, inner ache, tomorrow it already won't work. And the next day it'll be even worse. And therefore one nevertheless moves from hand to hand, and whatever he reaches today, let's say in 2014, he comes to the drugs. That's the most comfortable and good thing that's found right now. This life somehow will supply me whatever I need. If I'll have a few cigarettes a day, I don't need anything else. Again, there's also a matter of habit here. For then, he can't disconnect, because the need for the drugs becomes a need instead of that despair that he wanted to fill himself with. So there is here some form of care here that which is destructive, but people truly disconnect from this upper frustration. Therefore, I don't think. I didn't think that if we would come to it, and we talked about this with Oren and many times in my lectures, I didn't think that humanity would agree with giving out drugs. I didn't think that governments will start truly from as if it's coming from the point of therapy, and now they start to give out drugs. I thought that we would start somewhat before that, to start thinking and do other things. But here, there's a combination of several different factors. On one hand, many people came out of the workplace. They don't have what to do, and there's nothing to do with them. Simply kill them. Well, it's good, but you can't do that, nevertheless, for the time being. So they're doing all kinds of plans, and they're putting such influences on the society. So people don't want to get married, they don't want to bring children, and they're bringing one child instead of two. It's already good. So throughout one generation, we cut the population into half of its population, so we can suffer and wait. Within 30 years, we will already be a quarter, and then within 30 years, half. And therefore, because there are several factors here, revolutions, riots in all the different countries. So, of course, they decided that we need to start kind of freeing up the drugs. Because if one doesn't have what to do, what do we care that he'll sit at home and be high, as they say? Is there a better word than that? No, that's a great word. And that's it. He disconnects from life. It's the cheapest thing that we can supply. The drugs, and light drugs. And then we can disconnect him from life. He doesn't want family. He doesn't want children. He kind of, if he's alive already, let him live as much as he lives. For the time being, we'll make sure that by the foods that we're supplying him, that he'll live as little as possible. Kind of like, that's actually the plan. Of course, the upper plan of nature is a little different. It's not that it will exist in such a way, but for the time being, we're in a combination of these factors. What the plan of nature, its goal is to bring to us to despair. Its purpose is to bring us to despair. It's not the end purpose, but in our development, yes, our goal, it needs to bring us to despair. Why? Wait. If we didn't want at every stage along the way to want something new, we wouldn't develop, right or wrong? Yes. So, what is this despair? The despair tells me, not the despair, but the deficiencies that as a result of the not filling it, I have the despair. It's telling me that I need to find the source of life. This desire is a good desire. What desire? The desire to find the source of life. What do you mean by the desire to find the source of life? Who am I? What am I? Where am I coming from? What am I for? What is the order of life? What are we living for? That is a question that exists only in human beings and the degree of humans. Where before that, who would ask that question? Even today, you meet people. How many of them do you think are asking, what am I living for? Philosophers. Yeah. So that's why I said that in the subconsciousness, this question is already starting to bother many people. And in a clear manner, it is showing up in those that are connected to our factors. Well, they're not important to me. Not interesting. Well, I'm talking about the general public. What is this despair? They're in unfathomable numbers. What is bringing one into depression? You said three conditions before. You said the first condition is I have all that I need for my physical existence. And nevertheless, my question comes to me, and I don't know what's happening with me, and I don't know what's happening. What is this question, what's going on with me? Not what's going on, but rather it's an essential question. Not what's going on to me. Everyone asks that. What's happening to me that I'm in existence in some reality? Where am I? What am I here for? What's going on here? What's influencing me? Where are these all forces to? And for what is this whole situation, which is called my life? It's like you said, like with the stars and that, above the stars. What do I care about the stars? That's it. I don't understand about the stars because I don't care about the stars. Because it used to, it was like a dream to fly to the stars, to discover worlds. Maybe there's civilizations, new civilizations, other, you know, like, yeah, like in Star Trek or all kinds of different things. Yes, so we once dreamt about that. You remember the people that went out to space, the first ones, how much that awakened us and excited us, and we thought, wow, well, it's past. Okay, and now they're going there, who knows when they'll come back. Now, let's go back into my heart. When I feel great distress that's truly numbing me, what's happening in me? What's this thing? What is this? Even if I'm not those that have those philosophical questions, I come to this despair, and it's like I'm blocked. I'm numb. What's going on there? You said that several people ask themselves in a clear manner, what are we living for, and what's beyond life, and that. You said that's a few. Now, as I'm looking at the public, many people are in despair. Most of them, I'm sure there's part of them have those high questions, but most of them don't. Let's look at that. So explain to me. No, let me explain something first. I'm sorry. I have to add here first. People can be in despair from their existence, which is beyond life. Where am I from and why I am and what am I living in this world and what for and all that. Everything. And with that, to think that they're not organized, and from that they have despair. Because people are complex. They have, from still, and from vegetative, and from animal especially, and also from the degree of speaking. A person needs, it's like he's in two worlds. He has his world, his idea, the philosophical, the high, the essence, and all that, the world of thoughts. Well, it depends what thoughts, not thoughts that are below my belly button. No, but high thoughts, yes, about my existence, about the need, not the physical existence, the basic, not basic, but rather what's associated with his philosophy, his upper perception, about the essence of life. What for am I a human being? What is this soul? What is going on in his process? What does he reach? What does he come to? What did nature develop us in such a way for? What's the point in my life, not the flavor in my coffee with the milk or something like that, but I need to know the source of life. that ambition to know the source of life, it's in each and every person? Yes, and it's slowly, slowly clarified. But in the beginning, it's in a concealed way. Is there another part? That's like the high rise, high level, or the highest floor in me, which I call the high level, this high degree. What's the lesser degree from it? Concern for the degree of animal in me. What's that mean, the bodily? What I need to keep myself, family, children, me, vacation, health, pension, home, isn't that what we call life? That's the life of the beast. I'm sorry to say it in such a way, but let's simply, we're defining it according to levels. The fact that I care for my body is the degree of animal. My awareness is the degree of speaking. So whatever I care for my body, it's called that I'm degreeing for the degree of animal. It's food, sex, family. Later we have additional questions, which is richness, control, and knowledge. Yes? They're still human questions. And then there's a question which is truly here in some place and slowly, slowly, slowly during our times is beginning to awaken in us. Is it concealed in each and every person? It's behind everything because it's the highest one. And it is the question of what for is this? What am I living for? So in its essence, it erases all the previous things. And I'd rather die than live. And one can commit suicide. He can commit suicide or to become a philosopher. It doesn't matter what. But this question, let's say you have food, sex, family, money, control, and knowledge and all that. And what? The little beast? Successful in the fact that you filled all your body, this bag with all kinds of things? Soon you're going to die. Is there any benefit? Even you could say in a philosophical, essential way, is there any benefit from you? What are you doing? What are you enjoying? From what things? Or to who are you bringing pleasure? Even more. So before this question, there's a T junction where one either commits suicide or becomes a philosopher. I'm asking yes or no. And no, I didn't see that humanity is going in such a way. Right to philosophers, left to suicide. Right is drugs and left is philosophers, let's say, or it's drugs, antidepressants of different types. So what is this T-junction? Wait, that's the question. And now we're seeing that little children are already feeling a certain distress. What is this distress? What is the distress that a little child's thinking? It doesn't seem to me like he's a philosopher. Maybe as an adult I don't understand. It depends on the intensity of his development as a human in our times. It's associated with what time he was born and what times he was born. What is the distress that a child is feeling? He feels that whatever he has is not gratifying him. It's not satisfying him. What, he has toys, school, what else is he? I guess he's not in that so much. It's like he's looking through the games. He's not seeing the toys. He's not seeing you also and what you're filling your life with. He doesn't see. He kind of, it's hard for me. I traveled a few months ago to Switzerland to meet some relatives, to be with some relatives, because my niece is on the border of France and Switzerland. That's where they live. And I took my grandson with me. Yes, 5 or 6 years old. He goes into the airport like he knows everything. He walks in. I kind of followed him. It was interesting to me to see what's going on. He gets into the airplane. He sits down. Here's the window. You can open this. You can close this. The shutter is this. I want pizza. He's asking the waitress. Yeah. in short, you see it's some creature. For the first time that I entered into an airplane, it was like, it was exciting, it was very exciting. It was, they are already beyond that. It's not some things that are around them. It's not exciting to them. It's not interesting. It's not, it's the, what do you mean by matter? Matter meaning something that it's built from. It's like if it's something virtual, then it's somehow. It's at the degree of... It's within the virtual networks. Why? I can't tell you why. They're built in such a way that, in such a way, they absorb this knowledge. And what you pass on to them in such a way, no. Not such games like we forgot. Where's the place of despair in the picture of a child? What is the despair about? What is it that such a child despaired from? He can be depressed. He doesn't from what? He doesn't know from what. It's growing in him slowly, slowly. What's growing? What's growing in him is that deficiency, that lack that cannot be filled from our life. A deficiency meaning that he's missing something that he can't fill. What is he missing? He's missing that question. That question is nevertheless already listening to him. What question? What am I living for? A child asks? From what age? I don't know from what age, but I see, according to statistics, from what age are they starting to give out antidepressants? Today, in a very young age. 9, 10, 11, yeah, elementary schools. Do you understand? Where is this coming from? And it's on all different layers of society. It's not that the kid that is being beaten up by his father. No. You need to understand that times have changed. You can't, with the means that you have from before, your studies from before, your research from before, from yesterday, to come today and see, check what matter you have today, what material you have to, and you'll realize you have to deal with it. Let's talk about suicide. No, wait, maybe before that, there's a matter here that I, about the story about your grandson, that despair is actually a state that I have no excitement anymore. There is none. There's nothing that moves him in life. No, I took him to all kinds of places in the airport. Later, we were in Switzerland for a month, in the ski and the up there in the Alps and all kinds of beautiful places. Nevertheless, we went to France for a little bit on the way back, and we had a big family there. We rented a big special house and very, very beautiful place. And there's no excitement. I thought I was doing something good for him, that he won't forget this. Won't forget it, age 5, 6, meaning that it will move something in his emotional world that will bring him a certain impression. And it seems like it's truly nothing not moving him. Now, why am I talking about that? Because really, as human beings, we're always looking for something that will excite us. Us, yes, because we're still from the old material. Well, let's say challenge sports or such a thing, that to jump from, to do bungee jumping or something. I don't know, things that excite us, that move us. We're looking for something like that. And what you describe right now to me, I understood that actually we're running out of challenges from the old deficiencies. You're calling it a deficiency. I'm calling it, it's like nothing moves, excites me anymore. That's the problem. And that brings me, we are still associated with the two different generations, nevertheless, me and you. But I see that it's like that. Compared to the way I was excited about something, that's different. The factors throughout the years that would excite us as human beings, they have changed, I understand. Now, how do I understand? Because you explained now about your grandson that something in the virtual world is still exciting him somehow. I'm talking about the degrees of emotion, and that also is passing. Meaning there's something unknown, something insecure, something like that. They know the virtual world through all kinds of games and programs and all kinds of engagements in the internality of their cell phones and different programs and abilities and possibilities. The moment we advance with this technology, and we don't need to be with our ears to be inside this technology, you know how to do this, you know how to do this, you have to do that. If we come to a state in which all that I want with in connection to any person in the world and thousands of other actions I would be able to carry out, let's say just by speaking, what will I do with it? All my interest today is because it's difficult. So it becomes like a game. It's a curiosity of a sort. Yeah, all in all, the moment there is before me an instrument, and I don't care how it's built inside, but all that I want, I can execute through it. It itself already is not interesting to me. So what's interesting to me is already the connection between different people. What are we doing today? How are you? How are you? How are you? How are you? Just like that. But the use of all of this technology takes up from us a lot of energy and interest. So we're coming to a state in which we're interested. We're going to leave it. I mean, we'll use it, but this instrument will be like anything else that I use for the sake of my life. And therefore, we will feel that we're really in a world that we're all in, and everyone's going, call, yeah, what for? Now, for the time being, it's a game. It's like our tragedy, and the tragedy will be even, it will truly a tragedy, that I will feel myself even more isolated. Now I kind of hide myself behind the screen, I read all kinds of things, I look at different things. This screen brings me all sorts of wisdom and cheap things and this and that, but it's still like that. But slowly, slowly, it's emptying. It's like in some place, humanity has already conquered the peak of Everest. It was like the most challenging thing at one point. We've come to the peak. We've conquered that. We've already filled all the dreams that you can possibly fill. And now what? And now statistically, from year to year, we are in increasing depression and despair, which is very meaningful, the quantities and that's going on. What's really interesting, there are people that are probably listening to our conversation today and they're saying, wait a minute, when I realize myself and implement myself to the end, then that question will awaken me. First of all, let me realize myself. Of course we shouldn't turn to those people and just start talking about them and just start asking. Don't put an obstacle. No. Like, for example, I'm even doing caring with my children. I see this. They're young. But I already see that in some place there's a certain place that doesn't even know how to realize himself. There's a very big desire to achieve, to implement something. So here comes the question. What are we doing by coming to a person and telling them about life and not letting them know life itself? Actually, such an approach is called education. I come to a person and I say, life is built this way and another. You have these kind of ways. I will help you adapt yourself to life. And then I educate him how to be with the family, how to be with society, with friends, with nature, how to get a profession to get along in life, how to know how to be careful of bad things and connect to good things. That's called education. In such a framework, he needs to be taught also history and geography. But all in all, I'm teaching him how to get along in life, how to come to others and be in the right and good connection with them. and maximally safe, so one would not harm others, and that he'll have the confidence that he will not, that others will not harm him. That's what I want from education, first of all. So, I mean, you're saying this T, we will all come to this junction. But if I do education, I'm actually avoiding my child from coming to that T point. Well, I didn't talk about the T yet, the junction yet. I'm saying that this approach is called education here. Now, if we are in a new world that has new problems, there are new problems in it, which is a lack of work, a virtual world, a world that is completely round and mutual dependency, and all the environmental influences on man, and the despair which is increasing, and the canceling of borders between countries, and truly everything is happening in integration, one thing to another. If we're in such a world, and especially the masses that are coming to drugs and others, and the family is being destroyed and so on. So accordingly, I need to change my education. To what world, to what life am I preparing the youth, the children? And therefore, our whole problem is education. And also the big ones and also the small ones. Because why? Because previously it wasn't a problem, because the world was growing in a pace, in a very slow pace. So I'm not succeeding with the parents. They'll die like that. I'll start with my children. And the parents, they're going to leave them in their life the way it is. Today it's not enough. If today a person is advanced, the world is advancing so much that I need to constantly be tight, connected to him in such a way all their life with education. Because otherwise, whatever was there 5 years ago, already even adults don't know how to get along. They need instruction. And in 5 years, again, the world and them themselves are developing very quickly. And therefore, I can't take just the 15 years of development of a child or the 10 first years and to give him something there to fill him there and for life, and that's it. It won't help him out into peace and life. The thing that you talked about, let's say if I look at this child, I'm looking, yes, he's young, he's 20 years old, he wants to realize himself. Does this education that you're talking about help him realize himself, but in a new way, in a different way? We need to give them education, first of all, it's not the regular education, so they will know how to connect to the global world, to the round world. So one will know how to be in connection and communication in such a way that in this he will be able to realize himself in a society which is completely interconnected. We need to teach them especially how to reach that question which is causing the discomfort, but give him a certain depth so that they will be able to deal with it and not fall to this, to give the medicine before the blow. What is this medicine before the blow? So one will know why life is, what life is, what the source of life is, how to attain the source of life. What is that degree of human in him? What is the degree of human in him? The degree of human in him is to get to know the plan of nature, to get to know that nature, that force which operates on us with wisdom, with a special attitude which operates, and we are all below it. That he needs to get to know. Why? Because this is where his question is, comes from the degree of human. What is he going to fill up there with? From our study in nature, on the side of researchers, I'm saying, scientists, we're getting to know that the world is round, it's connected in all of its parts, and than what we call nature. It's not the nature that you're going out to nature from your home to some vegetation or some forest, but rather I'm talking about nature, which includes everything that you feel and see, and beyond that, that scientists that are also discovering, and more and more. As much as we are discovering, we see an immense reality and the plan of the from the beginning until who knows where, in absolute laws that create the evolution in still and vegetative and animate and in degree of the speaking human. And we understand that all of this is happening upon us, above us, without asking us, that we ourselves are the result of that great force which is in nature and is concealed. And is concealed. There is in nature some force, some thought, which operates. Also, the astrophysicists and the astronomers that are dealing with the space, they're saying, it's interesting, they're saying that what they feel in space is thought. That's a wonder. People that are completely secular, thought. How is that connected to my despair? I want to attain this. I want to achieve this. I must have this. Who wants? Who wants this? Human beings. People want this. The questions that are awakening today, these are the existential questions. Not where can I get a piece of bread? I lost you a little bit. We said, what will we add? We need to teach our children and the grown-ups in our new education what world they're in. It's not connected to physics or anything like that. It's not connected to physics. This is connected to their life. In physics, it's something else, that the world is connected. And I need to learn about myself, how I'm connected to the world. Right. How because the despair is in me. I need mainly to see what problems there are today before a person, also youth and also an adult, and see how I can help him to relate correctly to himself and to life in order to prevent, first of all, this disease. Okay, exactly. And this is called despair. So from this place, so what do? That's our goal, to prevent the depression. We have to show him, first of all, and to scrutinize for him, what's the source of the despair, which is that question, what's the point in my life? What am I living for? Yes. Okay, and we'll give him an answer also, or only the question? No, also the answer, not the answer itself. The answer itself he needs to discover and to feel, but we'll show him the way how to reach it. What is the path? What is the way? That, I think, already is a topic of our next program. We'll skip over the path. What will he receive after that? A fulfillment for his desire, all in all. All in all, what am I giving him? A means how to calm down that question. But in calming down that question, he truly is realizing the degree of human being in him. We have come to the degree of Adam, the speaking. We are feeling now deficiencies, desires from that degree. We can't prevent our development or stop it in any way. And therefore, we need to just be concerned in how we solve the problem, how we fill the new desire deficiencies, which are constantly awakening in us more and more in the humankind. The degree of the human, the degree of Adam, Gever, human, there's many names for it. But how we're solving this problem, that's what I'm talking about. Education needs to solve this, to give them a way how to solve, to organize the environment for them, to give them the means in their hands, and also to accompany them until the solution. And this is possible. And this is going to create a new feeling. It'll create a new world. A new world we will feel ourselves as new. Emotionally, how will it affect us? Emotionally, also the world is all in all emotional, what's described in us. What will be? What kind of emotion will there be there? Wholeness, perfection. I'm filling myself in a degree which is awakened in me now, the new one, in the degree of Adam, of human. So far, we engaged also only in beastly existence, how my body will live, let it be healthy. That me, my family, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, all those things, kind of like upon earth. and to the graveyard. Now I'm asking above that. That's how everyone is. Let's hope that we will be able to resolve humanity both from the antidepressants and from the drugs. Our time is over. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you, too, for being with us. A new life. All the best.